Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, this morning we are in verses 7 through 12. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. This is God's word. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How many of you have ever asked God for anything? Okay. How many of you have ever asked God for something and then didn't see it happen? Well, what's the deal here? I mean, Jesus says, "Ask and you'll receive." So if you ask and it doesn't happen, well, what's that about? Well, that's about several things. One is our attention span. We tend to think that this means instantaneous, but actually, the translation that, going all the way back to the King James, the translation of these verses that is most familiar to us is simply, "Ask and you'll receive." But if you dig into the Greek a little bit, in which I have to have somebody else use the shovel, because that is not something I'm expert in, but I do study carefully what the experts say, including experts who really believe the Bible. You know, the way that this would be better translated, more fully translated, it would be more accurate in terms of the tense there. Instead of simply saying "ask," it's "keep on asking," "keep on seeking," "keep on knocking." It's not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing thing. Well, I mean, then why didn't they translate it that way? Because this is such a familiar passage that, like many other things in the King James, and I love the King James. I grew up on the King James. Tons of the more of the scripture that I have memorized is memorized in the King James than any other translation. So I'm not knocking the King James. But when the King James didn't fully get something, the more modern translations are willing to update, but they don't really want to change much. Okay? Especially on something really, really, really familiar like this. But you do your own study, you check it out, and what you will find is that actually it is better translated, "keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you." Okay. So maybe the problem is that I didn't keep asking. Maybe what's going on is that we haven't been persistent in prayer. Well, take a look at Luke chapter 11. Don't lose your place here. We're coming back. But just turn over for a moment to Luke chapter 11, where Jesus is also teaching about prayer. In Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, having just told them, you know, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, etc. In verse 5, he says, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Matthew, when Jesus was teaching this, he talked about giving good things. What could be better than to receive God himself, the Holy Spirit? And then keep in Luke, look over in chapter 18. Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why did Jesus teach that story? In order that his disciples would know to keep on praying and not give up. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Why? With God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. He is beyond time. And so God can do in an instant what we think is going to take forever. And God is patiently waiting for Jesus' return in order that more people might be saved, 2 Peter chapter 3. God waits in order that more people might have the opportunity to repent. So we pray, come quickly, Jesus. That's what the church in every age says, and it's the right thing to pray. But you got to remember what the holdup is. The holdup is not God, I'm sorry, I'll be with you in a minute. I've got some other things going on over here in just outside the Milky Way galaxy, and I've got to attend to that, so I can't really. But we'll get to you. That's not what's going on. What's going on is that God's Spirit is moving all over the earth, and he is gathering in his children. In each generation, God is gathering his children to himself until one day there will be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation all over the earth gathered around the throne, worshiping the Lamb that was slain so that we might be redeemed.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, what are you praying for? Amy Carmichael, little Irish girl, prayed that God would give her blue eyes. She had brown eyes, and they weren't considered pretty in her community. And so she desperately wanted blue eyes, and she knew that God had promised that He would answer our prayers and that we can ask and we'll receive. And she prayed in faith, and she just believed God. And the next morning she got up and she looked in the mirror, and her eyes were still brown. But you see, God had a plan for Amy Carmichael, and that was that He was going to let her serve Him in India, where because she had brown eyes, she could pass as she went into the Hindu temples to rescue little girls who were being used as sex slaves. She rescued children, and she set up a school, and she set up industries and taught these girls not just how to read and write and have jobs to support themselves, but she taught them the gospel, that there is a God who loves them and who has a wonderful plan for them. And she saw many come to faith, and now she's been in heaven quite a while, but her ministry is still changing lives in India. God didn't give her what she asked for because God knows best. What if your son asks you for a fish? Will you give him a snake? Of course not. But what if your son asks you for a snake? I'd like to have something that I think would be good. And God says, actually, I have something better for you. God's got a plan for you. People with curly hair want straight hair. People with straight hair want curly hair. People wish they were taller, shorter, or heavier, or not so heavy. We always want something different. And we ask God about stuff that doesn't matter. We pray for this, and we pray for this, and we pray for this. But sometimes, if you're seeking after God, Jesus, remember, in this Sermon on the Mount, has already told us we're supposed to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else we need will be given to us as well. So what are you praying for? When I was 15, God showed me something else He wanted me to do. He wanted me to have a home for children who had a problem in the home that they hadn't created. God put that in my heart when I was 15 years old, and I thought, how's that going to happen? I'm still in high school. I don't even have a driver's license. I don't have any money. How's it going to happen? We don't have any family land that I'm going to inherit where I can have a children's home. What's going to happen? And God spoke to my heart and impressed on me that He was going to give me the land. That when it was time, He'd give me the land. So I started telling everybody, this is what I believe God's going to do with my life. This is what I'm planning on. And I prayed. And I prayed for God to give me the land. And God mercifully didn't give it to me when I was 15 or 19 or 22 or 30 But along the way, what he did was to teach me a lot of things and help me develop a network of wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. And he gave me a helpmeet who was an absolutely perfect match for me. And when I said to her on a hike in the mountains in Western Carolina, the summer that we met, "Have you ever felt like God was calling you to do something special with your life?" And she said, "Yes. For some time now, I felt that someday I'm supposed to have a children's home." I said, "Really, I can relate to that. In fact, you might enjoy reading the paper I wrote my freshman year in college about the fact I believe God wants me to have a children's home someday." She said, "Well, I'd like to, and you might enjoy reading the paper I wrote my freshman year in college about the fact that I believe God wants me to have a children's home someday." Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that we were meant for each other, and as we talked, it was very clear that God had given us both the same burden. So we figured, we finish college, we start a children's home. And God says, "No, not time yet." We weren't ready. We didn't understand why God wasn't ready, but God was ready, we weren't. He was doing things in us and through us and preparing us. And so I was pastoring in Atlanta when I got a telephone call about this land. The year before, we had worked with someone to develop a business plan for a children's home, and we said in that business plan that we needed about 100 acres of land to get started. We'd like to have about 40 of it in pasture, the rest of it wooded, preferably in the mountains. And you know what happened? God gave us the deed that said 104 acres, 38 of it was in pasture. That's about 40. And it adjoined the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I'd say that's in the mountains. He did it for us because he loves us. It's a beautiful place to serve him. But it was over 20 years of praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And sometimes along the way, we thought, "Oh, this is it. I think we're going to get that property." Didn't happen. Over 20 years, we prayed and prayed and prayed. God had given us both the vision. We had to pray a long time. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And you know what? It happened. When we developed the plan for here, I wanted to have a chapel sitting right here so that as you drive in the driveway, you'd be seeing the chapel. And I was going to put the school building over kind of just down the hill from where Pleasant Hill is now. Okay? I thought that would be the right spot for it. Okay? God didn't send in the money for the school building. I mean, we weren't asking for a lot of money. We just needed a little. I'd drawn a plan on a napkin that seemed like, you know, "Come on, God, you can fund this. You've given us the land. You've given us the first house. We've got the money for the second house. Why aren't we getting any money for the school building?" And I mean, we had told people, I wasn't asking for money except with God. I was begging him for money, but I wasn't asking people for money for any of this stuff. I was just asking people to pray. I'd say, "Pray, we are seeking to do this," and people would give. But they weren't giving for the school building. And one morning, I told my wife, I think the problem is we're wanting to put the school building in the wrong place. And she said, "Well, where do you think it's supposed to be?" I said, "I don't know. But I feel like the Lord has impressed on me that that's the reason why the money isn't coming in for the school building, is because the spot that I picked is not where he wants it." And she said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go down and walk all over the property praying and ask God to guide me as to where the school building's supposed to be." And I settled on that spot. Felt like that's where it's supposed to be. And so I called a friend of mine here in the county who's a wonderful property developer. And I said, "Would you please come over and just look at a project with me?" He's a great Christian guy. He came over and I said, "Look, you know, as we're developing our plan for the campus, I thought that we were supposed to put the school building over there." And I said, "But I would appreciate it if you'd go around with me and tell me where you think it might go. So we rode around in his great big pickup truck. And when we came to that spot, he said, what do you have planned for this? And I said, I'm open. He said, I think this would be the perfect spot for your school building. I said, thank you. That's the spot I felt like the Lord was saying to. So I told my wife. And I said, Lord, please send in the funds for that building. And boom, 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 boom. We got all the money for the school building. I mean, right away. Wow. So I'm really excited, but suddenly it occurred to me, I don't know if we have enough money for operations, you know, just to keep paying the bills. Lord, please put it on somebody's heart to send us some money for operations. And a couple hours later, the telephone rang, and it was a friend in Florida. And she said, Jim, this is Sarah. She said, Joe and I were having our devotions this morning, and we just felt like the Lord wants us to send some money up there to the ranch. But we wanted to be sure that we were hearing correctly from the Lord. It's supposed to be for operations, is that right? Yes, ma'am, that's exactly what we need. Okay, we'll send you the check today. It's for operations. God bless you. Now, what was the difference between those two? This we had to wait on, wait on, wait on, wait on. But finally, when we agreed to put the building where God wanted the building, God funded the building real quickly. And then in the midst of that miraculous answer to prayer, I realized we need operating funds. So I got on my phone and I called six friends. No, I spoke to my father and I asked my father to provide. And you know what he did? He not only provided, but he let me know within a couple of hours that the help was on the way. This place is a testimony to God's miraculous provision through the generosity of his people. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be provided for you. But you need to be willing to keep seeking. You got to be willing to keep knocking. You got to be willing to keep asking. The Apostle Paul asks a life-changing question. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Don't ever think that God's going to short you because he's limited in his resources. He owns the universe. He spoke the universe into being, made it out of nothing. God has all the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he will meet every need you have to do his will. Whatever you need to do God's will, God will provide. Now, what about what I need to do my will? Oh, so you thought when he taught us how to pray, he said, my kingdom come, my will be done. No, that's not the way it works. You need to be praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what? When we pray that, that's not a prayer of, okay, have it your way. It's, oh God, have it your way. Because God's way is so much better than the stuff we come up with. He loves you more than you love yourself, and he knows what you need better than you do. Trust him.
Well, it seems like sometimes when I tell God to have his way, bad things happen.
Oh yeah, well, he said that was going to happen. In fact, Jesus said to his followers, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. So we can live without fear because we know that he's not only in charge, he has all power, all wisdom, and he loves his children. That's what he says. That's what he showed. That is the truth.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.